good morning and welcome to worship here at the table. We have dancers here in the front, and you're always welcome to join them. I just scared several people in the sanctuary. It'll be okay. Well, we are grateful to be together in worship with you all this morning, both in person and online. I want to invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we will move together in song into worship. This is our music team sharing Nothing to Fear.
And my heart was troubled. Facing the earth, stooping low like that sunflower head, parched and drooping. And isn't it sheer wonder that such an orientation can break open waters that are something like mercy? Is it dust that speaks of rain, and clay that speaks of oxygen, and soil that speaks of death, and death that speaks of life? These circles, hidden guides in plain sight. I hear the I, and into I plunge. I is separate, is only, is must be. Myth, dear soul. If only our ancestors knew the ways that print could box us in, would they have written still? Because awe is at once the elephant's hide and every gritty point. I whisper into his tiny, soft curls, I love you. And in that fractured pronoun, I cram the grace of the generations. You touch that weathered hand and think, is this the way? And in the shared tenderness, you both feel something true. And he sat down next to them there and dwelled in their grief because it was his too, because I was us and God was them all along. It's in that home of twig and light, I hope we can live.
I want to invite us to stay in a spirit of prayer. This next piece of music comes to us from an artist, Dee Wilson, who in 2020 felt the world shake as he looked on at the insidiousness of white racism, white body supremacy. And he wrote this song out of a place of longing and prayer for God to be God and to show up and to transform our lives and our world. So I invite us to pray, and then our musicians will take us into song. God, we come this day once more, painfully aware of your hurting world. Just across the causeway, where communities and families reel in the aftermath of murder. Hearing news as we wake this morning to another mass shooting, this time in Texas. God, we need your love, your medicine in this moment. So may your spirit guide us and change us to be the communities and the people you long for us to be. Amen.
There's a sickness here that threatens to divide us, and we're all afraid to say its name out loud. But Lord, I know that you can heal us from this virus, so we need you right now. There's a darkness here that's dangerous and oppressive, it's getting harder every day to shake its power. But I know that you can free us from oppression, so we need you right now. 'Cause we don't know what to do, so we turn our eyes to you. And we run out of words to say, but if you come and have your way, you can save us from ourselves. We've all moved to someone else. We need you. Does it mean to have compassion for another? How can I claim to love a God that I can't see? If I can find the will to harm and kill my neighbor, 'cause they neglected to look like me. I can speak the words of men and songs of angels and give all my possessions to the poor. But if your love can't move the mountains of my hatred, then I missed you and I need you so much more. 'Cause we don't know what to do, so I turn my eyes to you. Words to say, so you come and have your way. You can save this from ourselves. If our wounds hurt someone else, I need you now. 'Cause I don't know never be healed if you don't deliver us. We'll never be free. And if you don't change us, we'll never be better. We need you now. We need you now.
We need you now. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We are grateful to be together, both in person and online. For those of us gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. We are thrilled to be shifting the ways we organize our hospitality team on Sunday morning. Our new system is called Planning Center. And I'm going to go off script right now. This new system, first of all, I want to show you the QR code, which is so me, right? this QR code, you can look into it and use your phone to go into our website, or it will take you to a site where you can fill it on your information. And that information goes to a database where it will allow the users or our people, Bob, Lisa, Debbie, Pastor Matt, and Pastor Linda, to organize the profile, which I would like you all to fill, because this will allow you to take control of your profile, where you could sign up whichever dates you want to sign up, and you could block out dates, which is amazing because I have blocked out my dates. My holiday dates, okay? this is a new system that we have developed. I mean, and I would like to give thanks to Lisa, Bob, Debbie, and Pastor Matt. I would like for us to give a round of applause. It was such a, coming from a very technical point of view, it is such a very technical system that they have actually made it to life. So I've noticed that if people who have signed up through Clipboard, we have added them in, and we will be sending out emails. Just look out for that email. It will say my name at the beginning and then the table. It might go to the junk mail, so be aware of that. And with that said, I also would like to tell a confession. Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda did this a couple of weeks ago, and this is coming from a hospitality lead, and I told Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda this. I'm a number person. If somebody gives me a number, I'll remember it instantly, but I'm not able to remember names. So that's a confession. So if there are times where people would come to me, and this is, I've always been like this, and I will just forget name. And then, but to today and a couple of weeks, but today I had the app on and I was like, I know everybody's name now. Like, I could just put face to the name. So I would like, gladly would like, it's a new system. Go ahead and fill in all the information, and this would allow us to better sort out our hospitality lead and hospitality in general. So we do have a link on our website where you can actually go in and fill it. And we have a QR code for the next step after the worship, which is all in here. It's very simple for everybody to sign up. We have the QR code for the table bread, where you could order your bread accordingly. And it's quite very simple and easy. And if you have any questions, I'm here today, and you can reach out to me, or you can reach out to Bob, Lisa, Debbie, and Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda for any questions. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word NEW to the number on the screen. When you feel ready to connect with others and learn more about the table, our course pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share life here at the table. Our next Growing in Faith will be offered on June 9 and 10 in a retreat format here at the table. Please learn more and sign up online at thetableumc.org. I invite you to remain seated as our music team leads us in worship by sharing a song called Every Day. And I love you all.
What kind of world do you want it to be? Hello, I'm Becca Kramer-Mauder, for those who don't know me. And I am one of the table's representatives at our regional church gathering every year that will be happening next month in Sacramento. And at these gatherings, we do things like ordain the pastors for our region and pass some regional legislation. So I will be there with Sarnit and with Jean, and Matt and Linda as well, representing the table. And then I'm also a representative of that group, the annual conference at our global legislative body, which will be meeting next year in May, I believe. So if you have questions about either of those, please feel free to see me, and I think we'll be hearing more about what's happening next month as we get closer to annual conference. I want to invite our children to move with our teachers upstairs to our Godly Place sanctuary. Our musicians are helping us with lovely walking music. Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. Storytellers share from Scripture and invite our children to wonder about the mystery and the love of God. While we have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship, Godly Play is designed for children in elementary school. Our reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. And I'll be sharing an adaptation from the First Nations translation, an indigenous translation of the New Testament. And we invite you to follow along on the screens. First, for context, the followers hung their heads as his words sank deep into their hearts. Creator sets free, Jesus gathered them together and had them sit down in a circle, like an eagle gathering her young under her wings. He spoke softly but clearly to them. Do not let your hearts fall to the ground, he encouraged them. Trust in the Great Spirit and trust in me. My parents' lodge has room for everyone. If this were not so, then why would I tell you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When I am finished, I will come back to you so that you will always be with me. You already know the path to where I am going. Looks like his brother, Thomas, interrupted and said, Wisdom keeper, if we do not know where you are going, how can we know the path? I am the Great Spirit's pathway, the truth about who the Great Spirit really is, and the life of beauty and harmony the Great Spirit offers to all. There is no other guide who can take you to the Great Spirit. To know me is to know my parent, so from now on, you know and have seen them. Friends of horses, Philip said to him, Wisdom keeper, show us the Great Spirit, and that will be enough. Friends of horses, Creator Sets Free said, how long have you walked with me and still you do not know me? How can you say, show us the Great Spirit? The ones who have seen me have seen the Great Spirit. Do you not believe that the Great Spirit is in me and I am in the Great Spirit? The words I speak to you are not my own. It is the Great Spirit speaking in me. Trust in me, for I am in the Great Spirit and the Great Spirit is in me. Or at least trust the works my parent does through me. I speak from my heart. The ones who trust in me will do the same things I do, and even greater things, for I am going away to my parent. When you ask the Great Spirit for anything, ask it in my name, representing who I am. When you ask for anything in this way, I will do it to bring honor to my parent.
Thank you, Becca, and I do want to acknowledge these amazing musicians who help transport us to the depths of God's love. And so it was so beautiful to walk in this morning and to see Cole. It's been a couple of years, who is on guitar and has been with us for a lot of years here at the table, and to meet Toby, who's playing piano along with Brendan, and to have Damien and Grace and Ariel singing with us. It's a gift to be in community with you all. So as they move down and out, I just invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your Spirit shape the words of my mouth and hold the depths of our lives as we gather. May your grace lead us to ever deepening understandings in our minds and in our bodies and in our souls of your hope for us and for the world. Amen. Each time I've heard that song that we sang, The Medicine, I'm hearing new words to it. And this morning, I'm off script, Corey, following Sarnit's lead. This morning, as I heard that song, what I heard was the question that Dee Wilson asked. That's actually David Brough right there. But Dee Wilson is a singer. And Dee asked this question in that song back in 2020. He's acknowledging, like, we don't know what to do. And what does it mean to have compassion for our neighbor? What does it mean to have compassion for our neighbor? That is the question that shaped David Brough's life. So let's pull that picture back up. That's David. Those who live in Davis or just have been there will recognize him right away. David, back in 2008, had a year and a half where he invested his whole life in studying the mystics and the saints. And then he had what I'll describe as an epiphany. He actually named it in a video I was watching as I was walking up here today as an experience of awe. He had an experience of awe in which he decided that I'm going to stop reading about what these mystics and saints are saying, and I'm going to live this out. And so he gave away most everything that he had. His TV, he said to his sister, his car. And he lived with others asking a simple, profound question to anyone who would pause. He did this at the corner of 3rd and C in Davis. He started a number of years ago. And the question is just, what does compassion mean to you? What does compassion mean to you? A lot of us know that David's life was taken just a week ago. Some of you I was texting with, we've become accustomed now, we know what sheltering in place is. We knew it because of a virus. People in Davis last week were doing it because of another kind of virus. In the paper, a person who knows David Brough wrote this about him, Kevin Whedon. He didn't write it, he said it in an interview. He said, I don't know if David had a house to go to, but he had a home, and it was in Davis. It was in the hearts of the people. And so now when you go to 3rd and C in Davis, that's what you see. Compassion Corner. It's an earth bench. When a person who seems to embody compassion in every way imaginable has their life senselessly taken, it would seem that it should give us all pause. Dee Wilson was in that place, that pause place, back in 2020. Dee is one of the artists and musicians with a group called Common Hymnal. He was given pause in 2020, and he says this about the song that Dee created. He says, the medicine is like this. We're living in unprecedented times, he wrote about the song. An international health crisis slowed us down long enough to pay attention to historic national malpractice systemic racism. And our country has been in crisis mode ever since. The medicine is an honest prayer for help. Wilson invites those with ears to sing, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Creator sets free, Jesus spoke into the lives of people feeling something like that. generations ago. It's recorded in John 14. That's the reading that's assigned to the global Christian church for today from what we call the lectionary. It assigns readings for each Sunday over a 3-year cycle. And it's a text that has, perhaps as much as any other, been lifted out of its context and then wielded as a weapon. If you heard Becca share the First Nations version, you might wonder, how could that possibly be? But when you look in the pews for those here or online at some of the ways we translate this text, you'll see quite quickly how, on the surface, this has been misused. See, if David Breaux embodied and centered compassion, this text has been lifted up and used as like the opposite of that. For some of you in this very room, colonialist readings of John 14 call us to embody and center not compassion, but mercilessness, harshness. Some of you might feel it in your bodies when you hear the single verse. I don't even have to say it to you. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a commentary on this passage, there's a New Testament scholar, her name is Dr. Angela Parker, and she laments the ways that this text has been lifted out of its context and then weaponized against her and against others. It's become a paradigm of Christian exclusivity. Dr. Parker writes this: many contemporary Christians use 14:6 in John's gospel to argue that the only way to eternal life is through belief in Jesus. There's no allowance for the mystery of God to be revealed in any other religious systems, such as Jewish or Islamic faith. And I would argue, she says, that such an interpretation is not our major takeaway from this text. I'd actually suggest that such an interpretation completely misses the compassion and the care and the love out of which Creator Sets Free steps into this text. It closes us off from God and from others in direct counterpoint to the ways that the text itself is actually calling those early followers of Jesus to open up to God. And God's love for them, and God's love for the cosmos. So let's begin, well, with the beginning. John 14. It opens, and actually the First Nations version paraphrases the opening scene poetically: do not let your hearts fall to the ground. Do not let your hearts fall to the ground, Creator Sets Free. Encourage them. Trust in the Great Spirit and trust in me. John 14 begins here with Creator Sets Free, encouraging those who seek to follow him by compassionately looking upon them with what feels like vulnerable tenderness, because their hearts are on the ground. It's the exact opposite of what those who distort this text into a paradigm of Christian exclusivity would have us believe. Creator Sets Free is not leading with harshness. He doesn't see his followers' hearts on the ground and then knock them over. He tends with care to their feelings, to what's going on inside of them. So why would their hearts be on the ground? Well, in this moment in John's gospel, Creator Sets Free, Jesus has just shared with them through words and through actions that he's not going to be leading a violent revolution to overthrow empire. Instead, he is going to confront empire sideways with nonviolent compassion. This upside down way that he shares is going to leave him, he's sharing with him, not into a triumph on the surface, but actually into suffering. Even into losing his own life. And ultimately, this hope that he has then is in the medicine, the trust of him knowing that God is still going to be God. So the followers of Jesus are in grief. The therapist among us might help us in our language today. They're pre-grieving, having just heard about what's going to be happening. They're pre-grieving with their hearts falling to the ground because they're going to have to face life without this teacher, without this one that is giving them hope. And I want to acknowledge, on the surface, it seems like we've gone astray. Matt, this is not the season of Lent. This is the season of Easter. We are supposed to be talking right now about the risen one. So why in the world would the lectionary, the assigned reading, say, let's not focus on the risen one, let's go back to when he was talking about the fact that he is probably going to die at the hands of empire? I would say, good point. But maybe not. Maybe the reality of resurrection is actually so profound and so deep that on this side of resurrection, we actually have to do some work to go back to letting our hearts and bodies feel like what it was like for those disciples to have their hearts on the ground when they realized that the upside down way of Jesus was going to lead not in the way they had imagined. It would actually seem to me that the reality and the mystery of resurrection mostly unfolds like that. It unfolds over time, and reviewing it helps us to root ourselves in its unfolding over and over and over. Father Richard Rohr, in his daily email, which I know many of you read, it came out earlier this week, and he speaks in just beautiful language for some of what's happening in this text. This is what Father Richard writes. The word change normally refers to new beginnings, but the mystery of transformation more often happens not when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. The pain and chaos of something old falling apart invites the soul to listen at a deeper level and sometimes forces the soul to go to a new place. Most of us would never go to new places in any other way. The mystics, they use words, many words, to describe this chaos: fire, dark night, death, emptiness, abandonment, trial, the evil one. Whatever it's called, it does not feel good, and it doesn't feel like God. Our current worship series, we're trying to hold these readings assigned to the global church with this book called Awe by the social scientist Dacher Keltner. Dacher Keltner's book is a study of how daily practices or regular practices of opening up to awe will help transform our lives. And on the surface, it might seem that studying things falling apart would not be an experience of awe. But for those of us that have been in this, we're coming to recognize that awe comes to us in many forms. One of those often is a letting go of an old way, stepping into a new. In the church, the language we tend to use for that is an epiphany. We had a way we thought it was. Something happens. We have a way that we're trying to understand as we let that old way go. Keltner outlines 8 different wonders of life. We've been working on these the last few weeks. Moral beauty. Like, you can experience awe. I experience awe with someone in this room a lot of times. She's Chloe's coach. Her name's Alexi, and Alexi's my mentor and has been for a long time. And Alexi would stand up in front of young people and talk about going before a city council and about standing up for justice. And I would see Alexi do that, and I would have an experience of awe. That's called moral beauty. Collective effervescence. That's that place when Cole or our musicians, they take us into this place and we don't even recognize what's happening in this moment because it's so much bigger than us. Last week we talked about how music and visual arts can do that. Many of us experience this often out in nature. I do at the ocean. Next week we're going to wonder about spirituality as one of those wonders, and then reflect on the last week about mortality, coming close to death as an experience of awe. Today, we're trying to reflect on epiphanies. How epiphanies, like the one David Breaux had back in 2008 and 9, change the way we live in the world. Keltner writes this about awe and about epiphanies. He says, "The epiphany of awe is that its experience connects our individual selves with the vast forces of life. In awe, we understand we are part of many things that are much larger than the self." And it's my sense that John 14 is about just that, epiphanies. The disciples are being confronted. They're confronted by the reality that they are part of something much larger than themselves. They're confronted against their will as the old way that they've known is falling apart right in front of their eyes. Looks like his brother Thomas interrupts this. That's what I tend to try to do. I like to hold on to those old ways. Wisdom keeper, if we do not know where you're going, how can we know the path? I'd like to have some clarity, some certainty. D. Wilson sang about it. We don't know what to do. And perhaps it's in this kind of unknowing, this unwanted, often for me, unknowing, it might actually be necessary, even intrinsic to epiphanies that lead to awe. Perhaps there on the brink, as Keltner writes, of being in the presence of something vast that transcends their current understanding of the world. That's what awe does to us. Creator sets free, it would seem to me, is also in the midst of his own epiphanies in that moment. Creator sets free speaks lovingly to his followers. "The words I speak to you are not my own." Recognizing something bigger than self. "It's the great spirit speaking in me." And then goes on to share poetically of how the lines between his own body and God's, the great spirit's, they're actually an illusion. He's having another awe moment. "Trust in me, for I am in the great spirit, and the great spirit is in me." E.E. Cummings is a poet whose renowned poetry echoes what I feel is happening here with Creator Sets Free. The poem that E.E. Cummings wrote that echoes this for me is "I Carry Your Heart With Me." And some of you will know this. It's often read at weddings. It's often thought of as a poem between lovers. For those that know Cummings, though, you may be aware that Cummings was a child of a pastor and was himself a prophetic theologian. And I wonder if he, kind of like David Breaux, was rooted for that year and a half in the mystics and the saints and then decided to live it out. I wonder if E.E. Cummings is actually rooted in the ancient tradition of our Jewish scriptures, rooted in something like the Song of Solomon, sharing about then what feels to people like lovers speaking, and this is Cummings' way to invite us into the actual relationship that God longs for God's people to have with each other and with God. So I hear that, and maybe you will. This is Cummings' poem. "I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I'm never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. I want no world, for beautiful you are my world, my true. And it's you, or whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Here is the root of the root, and the bud of the bud, and the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. And this is the wonder that keeps, that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart." I offer this epiphany then for those with ears to hear. When Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me, he's not condemning anyone. He's not rejecting anything. Creator Sets Free is celebrating God's love for the cosmos, reminding followers that there is nothing to fear. Echoing the words that we sang in worship on Audrey Assad's riff on Coldplay's song, at first light, throw my arms out open wide. Hallelujah. And friends, it's not an easy way that we're called to. For some in this space, embracing the love of God, or better yet, allowing ourselves to be embraced by the love of God, will likely mean, possibly even require, something old to first fall away. And it might lead our hearts on the floor. And there may we open up to the mystery of transformation, and may the epiphany of awe that we experience in resurrection connect ourselves to the vast forces of life, that we might come to more truly understand and deeply trust that we are part of many things much larger than ourselves. So may the risen one meet us there this day, like Creator Sets Free did long ago. And may this poem that I've just slightly shifted from Steve Garnes Holmes be a prayer for us this day. Jesus, I do not come to God through my prayers, not my belief, or being good enough, or being a Christian. I come through you, Jesus, the love of God made flesh. You bring me, as you bring all people, no matter their religion. It is your love, not anything I do, that is the way I become close to you. Jesus, I do not need to ask you into my heart. You are already here, loving me infinitely. I only need to allow you. I surrender my doubt that you love me, my pride that you should love me. I surrender my resistance. I allow you to love me. Christ, I do not come to God beside you, but through you. You take us into yourself and we come willingly. You take us in and we become part of you. As we take in your bread and it becomes part of us, we are part of the life of love, the love that is the way and the truth and the life. Take us in, beloved, that you may live in love through us, and we may live in love through you. Amen.
As we prepare to come, to God's table, I think it's fair to acknowledge a lot of times we just don't know what to do. And in that moment, I would like to remind us, we always have the option to pause. Just pause. Breathe. Remember, the way of God is to love in and through us. I say that a lot. The way of God is to love in and through us, in and through us, in and through us. That's what it's like in my brain. Because it's easy to forget, at least for me. And so the invitation is to acknowledge that maybe again today, like yesterday, the way we try to move through our relationship with God and one another doesn't always end up in life-giving ways. That's a euphemism for we screw up, right? But always God is with us in those places. And those are learning places, not judgy places. So the invitation is to participate in this ancient act called a prayer of confession, which puts a form to those moments. And I invite those of us who are willing to stand in body or spirit to join our voices together again today. The prayer will be on the screen. And let's try it with one voice. God of resurrection, power, and awe,
we get afraid when something old falls apart,
and you whisper gently, nothing to fear. We imagine right belief will bring us to you.
We imagine right action will bring us close to you.
And you remind us lovingly,
all creation is already with you.
Change our hearts, open our minds, transform our fears, and forgive us, we pray. Friends, the power and the love of God and new life is already here, loving all of us infinitely. Loving the cosmos into infinity, the Great Spirit lives and loves through all of us. So may we live and love through the Great Spirit. Let's say amen.
Amen. And I invite you to join with us in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing that presence of love in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The body is broken.
I invite us into prayer together with the words Jesus shared long ago with those, his closest companions, and they have been passed to us through the generations, and the church named it the Lord's Prayer, and this is a paraphrase out of the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon us gathered here and spread to many places. Pour your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We invite our friends that are gathering online to bring close to them their bread or their cracker and their juice, whatever you have, to light a candle close to you. For those of us who are here in this room, we will share this feast in this room, and there will be two stations up front and one in the back. We went back to this practice, which was pre-COVID, a few weeks ago, and I am happy to report we've not lost anyone yet. You're doing a great job, and also we're not directing you. You are choosing when it is time for you to come to whichever station it is, and you are doing this divine dance with God and one another so well. Just as a reminder, on the platters are bread and crackers. The crackers have no gluten. The juice is juice, right? It's grape juice. Some of us are here for the very first time, and we want to always welcome people. Some of us practice this all of the time, each week, and we want to remind us that not everyone is like us, right? And so we are kind and tender. You can't make mistakes. We watch over each other in love as we move to the stations, to the places around to pray. If you are so moved, we are in this together.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you and for the whole world, and the cup of God's love and forgiveness poured out for all. Linda, the bread of life broken for you. Thank you. encourage those praying with candles to stay in that place of prayer for as long as you desire. God, may the depths of your love meet us in this act of breaking bread. May we be awakened to the longing which you have for the world when our hearts fall to the ground. May you meet us and hold us and guide us that we might become the very peace and hope and healing that you long for this world to know. We offer this in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We are going to wonder, or I'm going to invite you to wonder with me about what next steps God might have in store for you. For some of us here in the sanctuary, it may mean stopping outside at a little table that Sarnit will be at with others, where we'll have some next steps, ways that you can sign up for that hospitality team. It would be amazing to go from here. Here's the deal. When you hear Sarnit say, we all need to wonder about this next step of welcoming others into this space, often what we think is, there's a lot of people around me. It'll be fine. They got this. We really need your unique gifts to help welcome people into the beauty of God's love that is on the loose here in this community. And we would love for you to find that QR code outside. And if you have no idea what a QR code is, that's so okay. We'll help you figure it out, and we'll be in that together. There are ways that you can give there, here in the sanctuary and online, to help our community align with God's love for the world through our financial resources. Many of us do that as a way of practicing our faith and responding to God's love for us and for the world. And we're going to go out this morning in song. This is our music team sharing a song that we often get asked, like, what about hymns? This comes from a tradition. Oh, can you feel that? I don't know if you're gonna count this as a hymn or not. But may we be changed. Amen. Had life turned upside down as he made compassion the center of how he would live. And so may you open up to whatever old thing might need to die in you this day, that the love of God might call you into the practice of resurrection for this day and the days ahead. Amen.
I know.